If you have your Bible with you, you can open to Paul's first letter to the Corinthian church, the book of 1 Corinthians and chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, there are none at the back table, but you can tap your neighbor on their shoulder. You can tap your neighbor on your shoulder. I don't think you can do that. Tap your neighbor on their shoulder and ask them to share. It's fellowship lunch. What better time to look on with a friend? Let me pray as we look to the Word of God this afternoon. Let's pray. Father, we own the meditations of our heart. And as you did already this morning and through our conversations over lunch, draw us to you. Draw us to your Son. To a greater thankfulness for all that has been accomplished for all of us who are in Christ. That we would have greater joy in our salvation and you would receive even greater praise and greater glory for all that you've done. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to read for you just a few verses beginning in verse 4. 1 Corinthians 1 beginning in verse 4. This is what the apostle writes. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. That in every way you were enriched in Him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless. Who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. What I wanted to do this afternoon was, rather than taking a detailed look at these verses, just use the thoughts that the apostle expresses here and use them to help us direct our meditation as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, as we seek to fellowship together. I'm going to talk about what Paul does here, which is identifying evidences of grace in the Corinthian church. And I want to just talk under that heading of identifying evidences of grace, something we've talked about a lot as a church. If you've been in tags, you're familiar with the concept. If not, then you may not be. But even if you were, it may be something that you remember talking about, but it's still a category that's a little bit vague in your mind. So I thought we'd look to the Word of God and see the example that the Apostle Paul sets for us. And I'm just going to make three notes about identifying evidences of grace from this text here. The first is this, that we ought to be quick. We ought to be quick to identify evidences of grace. As Paul writes, beginning this letter, writing to the Corinthian church, it is at the forefront of his mind. It's the first thing that comes to his mind as he's writing to his brothers and sisters in the church. As I'm talking to you, this is what's on my mind. This is what I want to say first and foremost before we go anywhere else. I want to talk about the evidences of God's grace that I've seen in you. So the question then that we ought to ask is, how do we get there? Paul's quick to identify evidences of grace. How do we get there? How do we become quick like he is? Well, I think the key question is this. Where is God working? If you want to identify where God's grace is active, you need to take another step back and say, well, where is God's grace active? Where is God working? Here, Paul sets the example for us in the context of a prayer. Paul says, when I pray for you, I always thank God for you, and I thank God for you because of what God is doing in your midst, because of what God's doing in your life. Which, of course, begs the question, when you pray for your brothers and sisters, Are you expressing thanks? And what for? Here's a great way to pray and to give thanks, to express thanks to God for what He's doing in the lives of your brothers and sisters. Where is God working in their life? Have you thought about that? When you talk to your brothers and sisters, are you looking for that? Are you seeking that out? Where is God's grace active in this brother, in this sister's life? In other words, where is God working in this church, in your brothers and sisters? Paul can be quick to give thanks for the Corinthian church because he's familiar with them and their context. And he knows, if anything he knows about them, he knows where God's grace is working. That's what we need to know about our brothers and sisters too, if we're going to follow his example and be quick to identify evidences of grace. I think it's worth noting that Paul is quick to identify evidences of grace, even to the Corinthian church. Because if there's anyone that didn't need to speak highly about other people's spiritual experiences, it was the apostle. And if there was any church that didn't deserve to have someone speak highly about their spiritual experiences, it was the Corinthian church. The Apostle Paul, who is greater in many respects than any of even the other apostles in his experiences of visions and sufferings and his mission and the success that God has brought through his proclamation of the gospel, on and on and on, as you read through the New Testament and all the ways that the Lord has worked through the Apostle Paul and in the Apostle Paul, the visions that he's been given, the way he's been caught up into heaven and seen the resurrected Lord. If there's anyone who could look around and say, my spiritual experiences are better than yours, it was Paul. And the Corinthian church was not, in many senses, a praiseworthy church. In fact, it was, in many respects, a horrible church. As Paul writes, even in this letter to the 1 Corinthians, he writes about doctrinal error, missing the centrality of the cross, divisions in the church, immorality, lawsuits among the church, people getting drunk and other people starving at the same Lord's Supper. Problems with people messing up the gifts, the spiritual gifts, and using them selfishly. And at various points, this church even opposed the Apostle Paul and preferred the people that mocked him and tried to make little of him. But Paul identifies evidences of grace in them still, which pretty much eliminates any excuse any of us have to be able to look around at our brothers and sisters and say, it's just hard to see God at work. Because if the Apostle Paul could see God at work in the Corinthian church, then we ought to be able to see God at work in the lives of our brothers and sisters in this church. So we need to follow Paul's example and ask, where is God working? And then do what Paul does, speak about it. He prays about it, he gives thanks to God for it, but then he speaks about it to the brothers and sisters that he's writing to. So we want to follow that pattern of being quick to give thanks to God for all that he's doing, everywhere that he's working, and then speaking of it to our brothers and sisters. Here's where I see God working. Paul does this first. He knows that there are issues of correction and discipline and all kinds of things that he needs to get to with these brothers and sisters. But he is quick, first of all, to set the tone by identifying evidences of grace in his brothers and sisters. And so we too need to be quick to identify evidences of grace. But secondly, we ought to be able to identify evidences of grace. It's one thing to say, I want to do it, and I want to do it quickly. It's another thing to be able to actually do it. We're not talking about just saying, you know, well, you have a very nice smile. Oh, is that a new perfume you're wearing? We're not talking about complimenting people just on a general sort of surface level. We're talking about identifying where God is working. Paul gives us two basic categories to work with here when we're talking about evidences of grace. They're not the only two, but they're two that would help us if we start to think in these categories. The first is this, evidences of grace in their lives. In the lives of the Corinthians. So he says in verse 5, in verse 4, I give thanks to my God always for you because the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and knowledge. So in other words, the ways that you talk and the ways that you think, God is changing you. God's at work in you. He's changing what's going on in your heart, in the patterns of your thought, in the patterns of your speech. He just identifies in this sort of broad level, there are ways that God is working in your life. And I'm giving thanks to God for that. And I'm making that known to you to encourage you. So likewise, we ought to be thinking in those categories. How do you do that? A couple helpful things to do might be to memorize the fruits of the Spirit. You want to see where God is working, you need to know how God works. He works by bringing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So when we know those things, we're quick to look for them, we're quick to see them and be able to identify them and say, that's God. Now you are able to identify evidences of grace because you know how God's grace works. More than that, we can think about even the attributes of God. The more you think about and learn about the attributes of God, the more you'll begin to see Him reflected in those who are new creations in Christ. So the more you will see how they are becoming like God Himself. And you'll be able to identify evidences of grace in their life, in the way that they live. But there's a second category. The second category is this. He identifies evidences of God's grace in their gifting, in their spiritual gifts. So that in verse 7 he says, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift. When Paul thinks about the church, he thinks about the ways that the Holy Spirit has gifted the individual members of that church to become members of one body that ministers to the rest of the body. And so if we're going to be able to identify evidences of grace in the lives of our brothers and sisters, we too need to be looking for how God is gifting the members of the local church to be serving the body. So specifically, you can look at, if you want, you can memorize the lists of the spiritual gifts that are given to us in the New Testament so that you'll be quick to understand that, hey, this person is helpful. They're always helping. Maybe that's the Holy Spirit working in them, the gift of helps. Or this person is particularly helpful in the church in gifts of, or in ways of administration. That's a gift of the Holy Spirit, administration. You can begin to identify these things in the lives of your brothers and sisters and say, that's the Spirit of God at work in you. So if we're going to be able to identify evidences of grace, we need to look for how God is working and we need to have categories in place to identify. How does the Holy Spirit work? And where is the Holy Spirit working? So I'm going to offer to you now an open question. It's immediate application. If you look around at Grace Fellowship Church, as a church, as individuals, where is God working? How can you identify evidences of grace in this church? Where is the Holy Spirit working, equipping, ministering to the body? Where is the Holy Spirit changing lives? What are ways that you can identify evidences of grace? What evidences of grace do you see at Grace Fellowship Church? It's an open question, immediate application. Whether it's life or spiritual gifting.
Patience and kindness of people who bring food to a place without a kitchen and make a great deal.
Amen. Amen. Patience, kindness, good. What else? Great. So joy. Praise God. What else? Peace and grace? Yeah, absolutely. Ephesians tells us that we have peace in the church because of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Good. Ben? Yeah. Thank the Lord for that. Faithfulness in the preaching of the Word.
Knowledge. A lot of people have a desire for knowledge. A lot of knowledge of Scripture.
Yeah. So knowledge of Scripture that the Spirit gives people. Absolutely.
Kindness. I'm not even a member of the church. I just kind of wandered in. And I got some food.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, absolutely. Kindness. Good. What else?
Grace exhibits gift of discernment. I think so many people of grace have a very profound sense for what's biblical and what's not biblical.
Yeah, so the gift of discernment. Thank the Lord for that.
Just really thankful for the band and everyone on the band. Just faithfully waking up early on Sunday morning, Wednesday night practices. I've been there for a while, so you know, it can be tough sometimes. Their faithfulness and their passion and their devotion to serving us through song.
Yeah. Praise God. Thank the Lord for the faithfulness of the band, Nick.
Just this church is delighted in living as the family of God and having fellowship largely, and also just people loving each other, you know, outside of our meetings and hearing about other people gathering together. It's awesome to see people, you know, gathering together as God's family and living as if that's real, because it is.
Yeah, so the Spirit's work in knitting us together as a family. Good. Catherine, did you say something as well? Oh, praise God. Love of brothers and sisters for each other. Will, you got one? By yeah, people love to help and to serve around here, don't they? That is evidence of the Spirit of God, absolutely. Susan? Yeah. Oh, praise God. Chiso.
We're to see God glorified, whether in our work of studio, so that does not glorify God. So, evangelism.
Yeah. So evangelism, love for the glory of God. You got the tallest hand, so you get to go next. Amen. Thank the Lord for our nursery workers.
Godly discipline and training of children from parents.
Mm. Yeah. Thank the Lord for parenting. Yeah.
The willingness of our setup and cleanup.
Yeah, amen. Thank the Lord for our setup and cleanup, guys. Kath.
People that have gifts, and I'll just use photography as one of them. Not only God sent us Jesus, but then God blessed us and sent us Renee.
Amen. Yeah, absolutely. Praise the Lord for that. Yeah, Paul. Yeah, the willingness of our Grace Kids teachers to be faithful in teaching the Word week after week after week. I think I saw a hand over here somewhere. Nick?
People talk about the cross a lot, which is awesome.
Amen. A love of the gospel, imagine that. That's an evidence of the Spirit of God at work. Absolutely. Kevin. Yeah. Praise God. Christ is building His church. Amen.
I just got faithfulness. I think in terms of just the intentionality of people. I've never met such an intense group. But intentionally in a good direction, right? Everything in terms of just being really serious about living for God. Not that
yeah.
It's fun and there's lots of pranks. But it's just that you know, desire to live for God. Nobody brings people to play in the church.
Yeah. Oh, praise God for that. Absolutely.
I'm just so thankful for our church that you can just genuinely feel the love that everyone has for one another. And it's not just like a human love, but a love that's rooted in the love for Christ. And so it's sometimes, you know, brothers or sisters are able to point out any sin in your life when you need it.
Yeah.
And that's a great display of love.
Yeah. So a love that's willing to sacrifice and say hard things and do hard things. Absolutely. Will, you got another one?
Yeah, that we can
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's great, man. We're thankful for people that'll talk to us about the Lord, aren't we? Miller?
Yeah, along the line of Peter now, the verse in John that says that this is love when you lay down your life for your brother. And any time, like in this church, that I need something, that I need to talk to someone, or need a ride, or whatever it is, people are just always quick, you know, to serve or to just lay down their life and drop whatever they're doing and meet their needs. So just meeting people's needs and laying down their life.
Yeah. Praise God.
I'm thankful for the grace of God. Just seeing how the church loves the doctors.
Yeah.
And love the truth.
Yeah. A love for the truth. Absolutely. Well, I'll cut us off there because I know we could go all afternoon. I'm so thankful to God for His grace that's active and working in the life of our church. But the next question then is, what's the result of all this? If we become like Paul, quick to identify evidences of grace and able to identify evidences of grace, what's the outcome? What's the desired result of all that? I think where Paul goes next gives us great reason to rejoice. The third point is just this: we ought to take great hope in the identifying of evidences of grace. Look at the way Paul describes it in verse 5. He says that in every way you were enriched in Him. Our lives are being enriched by Jesus. Now, that's an amazing thing. If you've ever had opportunity to be mentored in something by someone who is far ahead of you, and above and beyond what you are and much what you would like to become, then you are humbled and gracious. You are thankful for the grace of God in that other person, because your life is being enriched by that other person who is stepping into your life and bringing you along, involving themselves in your life. And that's on a human-to-human level. The apostle says your lives are being enriched by Jesus, the God of the universe, who created all things and upholds all things, the one for whom all things exist, is at work in your life, changing you and changing your brothers and sisters, so that your lives are enriched by Him. But as glorious as that is, that's just the beginning. Our lives are enriched. But more than that, Paul says, in our evidences of grace, we see that Jesus Christ will sustain what He started. He's going to finish what He began. The fact that there are evidences of grace in your life now and in the lives of those around you now, that means something. It means that the finished work of Jesus has been applied to you, so that the Spirit is now working in you. It means, as Paul says in verse 9, that you are a partaker of fellowship with God. God participating in your life and you participating in the life of God. It means that the gospel message that you've believed is being confirmed in your life. So here's proof that the gospel is true, Paul says in verse 6. Even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, it's being confirmed by the fact that it's working and it's changing you, and you can see it in the people around you. This must be true because lives are being changed. The fact that there are evidences of grace means that the revealing of the Lord Jesus that you long for, that revealing, the final day when Christ returns, that day is coming. Who will sustain you, verse 8, to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. It means that day is coming. It also means that when that great day of Jesus comes, you won't be abandoned. You won't be held guilty. You won't be forsaken like we so often fear, like we haven't done enough, we haven't believed enough, we haven't worked hard enough, we haven't made it. The reality is the evidences of grace testify to us that the gospel is true, that Jesus began a good work in us, and that He will finish it until the day when He is revealed. The fact that there are evidences of grace in our lives gives us great hope because it shows us that Jesus is working and Jesus never fails. Evidences of grace then are fodder for soul encouragement because they're proof that Jesus is working. So as we look to the Lord's Supper now, let me ask you, again, just in your own mind, in your own heart, as you prepare to take, where is God working? Where do you see God working in your own life? How have you seen God changing you, making you aware of sin and enabling you to put sin to death? Where have you seen the grace of God being manifest in your life? How about your brothers and sisters, the people that are sitting around you now? The lives of those in your family who are believers. In the gifting of the brothers and sisters here in the church. Where is God working? Where can He be seen? I want you to take those evidences of grace and let them sink in and have their full effect so that you would know that the gospel of the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, and the Holy Spirit who indwells us, that gospel is true. The God we serve is faithful. The revealing of Jesus Christ is coming. And the work that Jesus does, Jesus will finish in your brothers and sisters and in you. Because of that great day when He hung on the cross and declared for all the world to hear, it is finished. So I'm going to ask Josh and the band if you guys would come and lead us in song as we prepare our hearts.